Hey, man, I will make this short because people are thinking about pie, so I don't want to compete with that. But, you know, a lot of the testimonies tonight are right into the message. Let's all turn to Psalm 65. Psalm 65. You know, some of my main points were well said tonight already, so... If you're able, let's stand. Let's read this together in unison. It's only 13 verses, so I think we can do that. Psalm 65. Let's start. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of them that are afar off upon the sea, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of their people. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. Lord, thank you for the word tonight. And Lord, I just pray you'd bless this brief time as we look into it, Lord. We might be encouraged and grow in our thanksgiving for all you've done. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This Psalm of David, interesting, it's written during at the end of the harvest. So everybody's rejoicing. It's the time of rejoicing. And they're thanking God for all the things he's done. And, you know, now think of this. The Psalms are not like any other book in the Bible. You know, these are songs. These are the Jewish hymn book, as it were. You know, we don't turn to chapter 65, we turn to Psalm 65. Just like in your songbook, you don't say turn to page so-and-so, you turn to song so-and-so. So remember, they get together and they sing this song. And the congregation would get together and sing this great rejoicing for all the blessings of God's provision. And so there's three basic things I just want to mention tonight that David emphasizes that, let me put it this way. How can we not praise the Lord? I mean, the poor world out there doesn't know the Lord. They miss out. We have so much to praise God for. But let's look at three quick basic things. Look in verse 1. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion. And he mentions in verse 4, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, and he may dwell in thy courts. He says, listen to me. How can you not praise God because of the place of worship he's given you? I mean, they'd go to Israel, to the temple there he talks about, but you got a church here. And many testified about the blessings of having your church. You know, I look out in the world and I feel sorry for people that don't know the Lord. They don't have the joy of the family and of a church. And Thanksgiving is, you know, not a big thing to them, but other than have food and turkey. But man, the testimonies tonight, aren't you glad you're saved? You got friends, you got brethren, you got sistren, okay? I mean, we have a family, as you know. My wife mentioned wherever we go, you know, I come across family that I didn't know I had, but right away there's a camaraderie, you know, because you care about each other, and you pray for one another. My wife, I don't know where she had someone sent some music, a bunch of Fijian rugby players that were at the Olympics or something, and they started praise after I think they probably won. They always win rugby every time. But they were out there praising, singing songs of hallelujah to God for his goodness. But I have brothers and sisters in Fiji I've met, and I love them, and I have some that are with the Lord now that are from Fiji. You know, so I'm just saying, we ought to be, you can't help but praise God if nothing else than the place you have to worship. Also, verse 5, I'm going to make this brief. By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of them that are far off upon the sea, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas. You know, so he covers a broad spectrum here, but you ought to be, you can't help but thank the Lord for where you live. Amen? I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord when we were in Longview, Washington. We loved it there. We didn't think we'd ever leave Washington State. I'm serious. We love Washington State. I thought Montana's the backside of the desert, and I didn't want to go there. But, hey, when we got where God wanted us there, we ended up having the greatest part of our ministry in Montana. And Bellingham, great place. But just think about it. You got a church here. You got a great place to live. You have a warm bed. We got pie waiting on us. I mean, and really, you think of, you know, I've been a lot of places that aren't so pleasant to live. But, man, God's good. Listen to me, God doesn't make any bad place for you. When you know the Lord and you're where God wants you, it's always the best place. Wherever God places, he says the ends of the earth, he talks about. Well, ends of the earth, God owns it all. I mean, we can... Listen to me, you can live in a place and find things you like or dislike if you want. But you ought to count the blessings for the good things you have here. Every place has its fears, and every place has its blessings. Mountains are beautiful, but they can also be frightening. I lived in Longview when Mount St. Helens blew. That's where it blew out. That's where it came right down through our town, you know. And that was kind of frightening, you know. And I saw people throwing stuff in the back of their pickup, leaving their house, just driving off because they were scared we were going to die there because the false dam that the thing made was going to take Longview and Kelso and bury it in 15 feet of mud. But anyway, but you know, and I was raised in Kansas. People think, oh, that is a horrible place. No, it's a great place. There's some beauty about Kansas. There's also some ugly about Kansas. The people are wonderful there. In fact, if you're in the air, the prettiest state to fly over is Kansas. You say, how's that? All the farms are sectioned off, and it's like a patchwork quilt, man. It's beautiful. But I'm just saying, I was thankful I was raised there. I had a good, wholesome upbringing with my folks. Every place has its fears and blessings. He talks about the mountains are girded with power. And so you ought to be thankful to God because where you have to worship. How can you not praise God because the place you live? Verse 9. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. God doesn't run out of water, does he? Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. I mean, he goes on. You know, how can you not praise God? The Lord, because of the provisions he's given in your life. Many have talked about, you know, little ones God's given, that miracle of Jeremiah's little one, and man, I mean, the miracle of birth, amazing. But think about this, God visits you. and he leaves blessings behind. Yeah, as he does. That's what he says. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Wherever God goes, and especially with his children, he leaves blessings behind. The whole of every year, and that's what was testified here this evening, are testimonies to God's interaction in your life. Look at verse 11. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths deep fatness, overabundance. Charles Spurgeon said this, the providence of God in its visitations make a complete circuit and surrounds the year. Yeah. Talked about Mount St. Helens. When it exploded, everybody thought it was the end of life. In fact, there were people there in Longview. They come, is it the end of the world? Because, I mean, they never wanted to talk about God until now on door knocking. Is it the end of the world? Is Jesus coming? People didn't even know who Jesus was are asking me. But after it got done, Mount St. Helens watered the whole Northwest with all the fields with fertilizer, and the crops went crazy. In truth, God visited us again. So, you know, the song, we didn't sing that tonight, but Count Your Blessings. Back in Kalispell every year when we had Thanksgiving Sunday, we called it. And I had a big feast and all, but the song leader would always lead one in the morning service with Count Your Blessings. And after every time he sang the part Count Your Blessings, which it says that tons of times in that song, we'd stop in the middle of the song and someone have to give a testimony, you know. So. But I mean, I think it Count Your Blessings. I mean, how can we not praise God for all he's done? When I think of that, it comes immediately in mind. Count your blessings, name them one by one. We'd be here all night if we did. Several years ago when I was thinking of this, because I know Brother Farinell is going down there at the end of the week. I took a trip with Brother Ramos, who at that time pastored over in the Yakima area. And a couple of men, we went down to ordain in the ministry out of his church down in Mexico. Went up to the mountains outside in the province or state of Jalisco, up in La Huerta, a little bitty town up in the mountains there. And great service. But anyway, they took us to their house, the pastor in the town there, to have dinner with them. And down there, it was in February, I think it was, or January. It's 70 degrees and beautiful weather. But, you know, very poor little village. And this man made sacrifice because he lived in Yakima. He went back to his people down there in a very poor little village. And they had their house under a roof, but in the dining area is open air, you know, just how it was because of the way the weather is there. And they set the table up and had me and Brother Farinella and Brother Ramos and then my son's father-in-law actually sit at the table and fed us. And so we guys sit down and said, no, you eat first. They were so gracious to us, and they were feeding us their very best. To this day, I don't know what it was. I mean, it was some kind of soup with something weird in it, and Brother Farinella was sitting across from me at the table, and he goes, we prayed over it. I go, yeah, you're right. God's blessing it. So we ate it, and we all died. No, we lived. We survived, you know. What I remember this, though, they didn't have much. They were giving us their very best, and I was humbled by it. But they were happy in the Lord. They were glad in the place God wanted to be. We have a lot to be thankful for here. Your church, place you live, and your provisions. God has never failed us, and he never will. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, thank you.